ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 20 टेक्स्ट 22। सांख्येन सर्वभावानां प्रतिलोमानुलोमतः भवाप्ययौ अनुध्यायेन मनो यावत् प्रसीदति। सांख्येन सर्वभावानां प्रतिलोमानुलोमतः भवाप्ययाव अनुध्यायेन मनो यावत् प्रसीदति। सांख्येन सर्वभावानां प्रतिलोमानुलोमतः भवाप्ययाव अनुध्यायेन मनो यावत् प्रसीदति। माताजी लोमानुलोमतः अनुध्यायेन मनो यावत् प्रसीदति। सर्वभावानां विलोमानुलोमतः भवाप्ययावनुध्यायेन मनो यावत् प्रसीदति। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय द हम्बल सर्वेंट्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: अंटिल वन्स माइंड इज फिक्स्ड, बिफोर दैट वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग, सांख्येना by analytical study, sarva of all, bhavanam, material elements, cosmic, earthly and atomic, pratiloma by regressive function, anulomataha by progressive function, bhava creation, apyayau annihilation, anudhyayet should constantly observe, manaha, the mind, yavat, until, prasidati, is spiritually satisfied. Translation: until one's mind is fixed in spiritual satisfaction, one should analytically study the temporary nature of all material objects, whether cosmic, earthly or atomic. One should constantly observe the process of creation through the natural progressive function and the process of annihilation through the regressive function. Purport: there is a saying that whatever goes up must come down. Similarly, Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityur, dhruvam janma mrtasya cha, तस्मात् अपरिहार्य अर्थे नत्तम शोचितमर्हसि। फॉर वन हु हैज टेकन हिज बर्थ, डेथ इज सर्टन, and for one who is dead, birth is certain. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. Mano yavat prasidati. Until one has established one's consciousness on the liberated platform of perfect knowledge, one must constantly ward off the attacks of illusion through rigid analytical observation of material nature. The material mind may be attracted to sex. Therefore, by spiritual intelligence, one should scrutinize the temporary nature of one's own body and the body that has artificially become the object of one's material lust. One may apply this rigid analysis to all material bodies, from the fantastic cosmic body of Lord Brahma down to that of the most insignificant germ. As previously stated by Lord Krishna, one who is advanced in Krishna consciousness spontaneously avoids sense gratification and is constantly drawn by spiritual love into his relationship with Lord Krishna. One who has not achieved the platform of spontaneous Krishna consciousness must remain constantly vigilant so as not to be grossly cheated by the material energy of the Lord. One who tries to exploit the material energy ruins his spiritual life and experiences varieties of misery. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shriyuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyayivacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Vinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So the translation once again. Until one's mind is fixed in spiritual satisfaction, one should analytically study the temporary nature of all material objects, whether cosmic, earthly or atomic. One should constantly observe the process of creation through the natural progressive function and the process of annihilation through the regressive function. So, a very important verse which says that as long as the mind hasn't found a higher taste of spiritual satisfaction, one should continue analyzing the material world in a very critical light so that one doesn't fall prey to material sense gratification, material enjoyment, which might sound very appealing in the short run, but it is very troublesome in the long run. So one should carefully analyze material existence, material enjoyment, and figure out how it is a source of so much of trouble and misery, actually. Now, if we observe the world in a very critical light, we can figure it out that actually material world is a source of misery and a source of bondage. Now, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, he often, a long time ago, I remember a class that he had given. He had spoken a very simple story of a little boy who was visiting Chowpatty Beach with his parents. So, the boy was there on Chowpatty Beach and he was on the shores happily enjoying seeing the waves, enjoying the breeze. And he was peaceful until a person came there selling balloons. So the boy loses his peace as soon as he sees the balloon, the person selling the balloons, Gubbara Wala. And the boy, he develops the desire that I also want to possess the balloon. And then he sees so many other boys, they are going and buying their balloons. And he sees that, you know, they are enjoying with the balloons, I am not enjoying with the balloons. So he experiences anxiety, he experiences envy. And he's feeling the balloons are getting exhausted one by one by one. There won't be any balloon left for me. And my parents are not buying any balloon for me. Be quick, buy a balloon for me. He's in anxiety, experiences envy. He experiences unrest. And then finally, the parents reluctantly buy him a balloon. And then he has the balloon in his hands and is playing with it. But then he has got his, you know, siblings, his brothers, sisters, who don't allow him to play with that balloon in peace. Somehow he manages to play with the balloon for some time, and then the whole family moves ahead to eat, you know, pav bhaji. And at the pav bhaji stall, the tawa is very hot, and the boy is standing there with the balloon. And the heat of the tawa, it kind of bursts the balloon. Fat. Finished. Again the boy starts crying. Oh, I lost my balloon, I lost my balloon. But now when he turns to his parents, what happens? They are not going to give him another balloon. And he cries for the rest of his journey back home. Simple story, but it illustrates the nature of material enjoyment. Before he found the balloon, so much anxiety, so much envy. When he found the balloon, when he got the balloon, so much of anxiety to maintain it. There is fear that someone else will take away the balloon and play with it and won't allow him to play. And after a while, when the balloon is, you know, destroyed, again so much of lamentation, so much of crying. So much misery before, so much misery afterwards. And even when you are enjoying the balloon, that enjoyment is mixed with so much of misery. That is the nature of every single pleasure within this material existence. But within this material existence, there is hardly any happiness, there is hardly any enjoyment. But of course, there is a lot of rumor that there is happiness and enjoyment in this world. The happiness within this material existence is only a rumor. Now there is a science behind how rumors come into existence and how they spread. And to understand this better, let's take the example of a rumor from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting Vrindavan Dham, there was a rumor amongst the locals there. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, Loke kahe Krishna prakata Kaliya dahera jale Kaliya shire nritya kare Fana ratna jvale. The rumor was, Krishna prakata Kaliya dahera jale. Krishna has again appeared on the Kaliya lake. Kaliya shire nritya kare Fana ratna jvale. And Krishna is dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, and on the hoods of Kaliya a gem is glowing. So this was the rumor, that Krishna has again come to Vrindavan. Right? Now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he kind of dismissed it, that, you know, Krishna doesn't appear in Kali Yuga as Krishna. He of course appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but not as Krishna himself. But even Balabhadra Bhattacharya, his servant, fell for this rumor. And he proposed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, can I also go, and I also want to have darshan of Sri Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mildly slapped Balabhadra Bhattacharya and told him, don't fall for this rumor. Just wait for one more day. And the next day what happened? The same villagers came back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, is Krishna still dancing on the hoods of Kaliya? And the villagers said, no. Actually, what had happened was, a fisherman at night, he used to go out fishing. On the boat, he used to keep a torch. And from a distance, the torch, the glow of the torch seemed to be like the jewel on the hoods of Kaliya. The boat looked like the Kaliya, the hoods of Kaliya. And the fisherman seemed to be like Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. Now if you analyze this rumor, the first step for the formation of a rumor is, the story is leveled. That means, the necessary details of the story, which actually give a better understanding of the story, those details are removed. Now, the villagers were actually seeing the whole scene from a distant place, and it was the dead of the night. So these details were removed from the story, that you are seeing the whole thing from a distance and it is the dead of the night. And when you are seeing it from a distance in the darkness of the night, there is very less chance that you will be able to see things as they are, right? So these essential details are removed from the story. This is the first step in the formation of the rumor. The second step in the formation of a rumor is, the details that remain are sharpened to give more meaning to the rumor. So the details that remained, that you see some light, so that light became the jewel on the hoods of Kaliya, and you see something moving, that became the hoods of Kaliya, and the person who was, you know, moving on the boat became Krishna, who was supposedly dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. So the details that remain are sharpened. And the third step in the development of a rumor is the story is assimilated in such a way that it makes sense. Now Krishna coming again to Kalya Daha and dancing on the hoods of Kalya in Vrindavan makes sense. So it turns into a rumor. So three steps in the formation of a rumor. First step, the story is leveled. And the essential details from the story are removed. The second step in the formation of a rumor is, whatever details remain, those details are sharpened. And the third step is, the story is modified in such a way that it gets assimilated easily and it makes sense to people who are spreading the rumor. Right? So when we say that happiness is a rumor within this material world, it's actually a fact. It is a rumor. Now I was telling the story of this little boy who was visiting Chowpatty Beach, isn't it? Now the same boy, when he goes to the school the next day, what is going to tell to his friends? First, he is going to level the story. He is going to remove the essential details. All he is going to say is, yesterday we had gone to Chowpatty Beach with my parents and there we bought a balloon. Other details he is going to remove. How the balloon was destroyed later and how he was crying for the balloon before he actually bought the balloon. He is going to level the story. The second thing he is going to do is, he is going to sharpen the details that remain. And he's going to say, I played with the balloon for a long period of time. Aur bahut maja aaya. Kal hum log gaye the Chowpatty Beach pe, balloon kharida, balloon ke saath khela, bahut time, bahut maja aaya. And the third thing is assimilation of the story, right? And everybody in this world actually believes that there is happiness, there is enjoyment within the material world. So when you spread a rumor that you actually enjoy, it makes sense. So the boy, he spreads this rumor. After leveling the story, after sharpening the story, and after making the story, modifying the story in such a way that it gets assimilated. So if you see, everybody within this world is spreading this rumor that there is happiness within this material existence. There is enjoyment within this material world. And we fall for it. Because we have that belief. We believe. The conditioned soul believes that there must be some happiness. Some enjoyment within the material creation. But if you study the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, these scriptures reproduce the story of the material world as it is, without leveling, without sharpening, and without giving you a chance to assimilate it within your frame of reference. Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam very beautifully says the story of material creation without leveling it, as it is. Drishta maya divi vibho khila dishna panam ayushriyo vibhava icchati yan janoyam yasmat pituk kupitahas vijrambita bhru vispurjite nalulita satute nirasta. Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers to Lord Narasimhadev, he is telling that drishta vibho, drishta maya divi vibho akhila dishna panam. He says that, my dear Lord Narasimhadev, I have seen actually that there is no happiness within this material existence. I have actually seen. Yes, ayushriyo vibhava icchati yan janoyam. People are allured by what they hear about heavenly planets, about the long life that exists in the heavenly planets, the opulence that exists on the heavenly planets, and the vaibhava that appears, that exists in the heavenly planets, and they are drawn towards that. They fall for it. They fall for the rumor of happiness that exists
in the heavenly realm. But I have seen that the demigods who are supposedly enjoying all these opulences within the heavenly planets, as soon as my father used to sarcastically laugh and raise his eyebrows, all their enjoyment was finished. And was it that my father was enjoying? No. Even his power was vanquished in a moment. So supposedly, you know, people expect a lot of enjoyment on the heavenly planets, but I have seen personally that there is no actually enjoyment there. It's all temporary. Kshanabhangur. Within a moment it was all destroyed by the power of my father, and my father's power was destroyed within a moment. So it's all temporary. I've understood it. I've seen it as it is. So Prahlad Maharaj reproduces the story without leveling it, as it is, that there is no enjoyment actually. It's very temporary. The enjoyment within this world is very temporary. And then, the enjoyment that exists within the material realm, he doesn't sharpen it. He tells it as it is. Kutra shisha shruti sukha mrigatrishni rupa kvedam kalevaram asesharujam viroha nirvidyate natu jano yadapiti vidvan kamanalam madhulavai shamayandurapai kutra shisha shruti sukha mrigatrishni rupa. Where is happiness within this material world? He says, it's all a mirage. In the desert, when people look at the mirage, they feel that there is actually water. But there is no water there. You just go on running, go on searching for water, and it looks like water exists, but there is no water there. So happiness within this material existence is mrigatrishni rupa, Krishna's, Prahlad Maharaj says. It is just like a mirage in the desert. Kvedam kalevaram ashesha rujam viroha. People think that this body is a source of so much of pleasure, the source of so much of happiness, the source of so much of enjoyment. But actually, this body is a source of so much of misery. My nephew, you know, he died of cancer a few months ago. And he was having cancer of, you know, backbone. And he was going through excruciating pain. And what was causing this pain? The tumor on his back, it was actually pressing on one nerve. It was pressing on one nerve. And because it was pressing on one nerve, that caused so much unbearable pain for him. So much that he couldn't tolerate it. They were administrating the best possible painkillers on him. Nothing worked. Then they started dripping morphine directly on his spinal cord. Then there was relief from that pain. So one nerve in the body can potentially cause so much of pain. And there are how many thousands, maybe lakhs of nerves within the body. So how much potentially a source of pain the body is, and still people feel that this body is a source of pleasure. And Prahlad Maharaj is telling, Kvedam kalevaram ashesha rujam viroha. This body is a source of so much of pain. Nirvidyate natu jano yad apiti vidvan. You know, the philosophers, the thoughtful people, they understand this nature of material existence, that there is no actual happiness, there is no actual pleasure here. But still, they fall for it. Why? Kama nalam madulavai shamayandurapai. Madulavai. They are allured by the drops of honey. The drops of honey, which material existence provides them. So Prahlad Maharaj, without sharpening material sense gratification, material pleasure, says what it is actually. It is simply insignificant. Simply drops of honey. Mahabharata, in the Udyoga Parva, You know, Vidura, he explains material existence, material sense gratification using an analogy. He tells the story of a king who was chased by a tigress. So as the king was running, he ran and ran and fell into a well. And as he was falling in the well, you know, he got stuck in the branch of a tree. So in that precarious situation, the king looks outside the well and he sees that a tigress is waiting for him. Tigress along with her three cubs is waiting for him. And below he says that a crocodile is looking up with its mouth wide open. And then he sees on the side a snake is crawling on the walls, finding an opportunity to bite him. And he sees on his own branch that two rats, one white rat and a black rat, they are slowly but surely eating up the branch. And it's only a matter of time before the branch breaks. And while he was falling through the well, he had disturbed a beehive. And all those bees, the swarm of bees, they are biting him. And amidst all of this, what has happened? From that beehive which he has disturbed, a few drops of honey is falling. Madhulavai. And the honey is falling just in such a way that it is very close to his mouth. So what he does, he kind of takes out his tongue, stretches it, and you know, he tries to taste those drops of honey as they are falling. And he's happy and satisfied simply drinking those drops of honey, and he tries to forget all those miseries that he's undergoing, trying to absorb himself from in the happiness that is deriving from those drops of honey. So that tigress is compared to kama or lust, which is chasing every living entity within this material existence. And the three cubs of the tigress are compared to krodha, lobha and moha. They are the cubs of kama. And the crocodile, which is at the bottom of the well, is compared to death. And the snake is compared to time. And the rats are compared to the day and the night, which are slowly but surely consuming our existence within the material world. And the swarm of bees, their biting is compared to the miseries that people undergo on a day-to-day basis. So people are troubled by karma. They know death is coming. They know time is passing, which is going to take away everything from you. They know days are passing. And they see that they are affected by miseries on a daily basis. But still, the little amount of happiness that is coming, they are trying to find satisfaction in that. Madhulavai. That is the nature of material existence. That is the nature of happiness within material existence. But as I said, there is rumor within this world that there is happiness, and people fall for it. Now, everything within the world, everything that we are surrounded by, especially in the modern world, everybody is busy spreading this rumor that there is happiness within this material existence. Right? What are the movies? Movies, they kind of depict a storyline which is leveled, which is sharpened, and which is easy to assimilate. The same thing that is going on. Now this particular story which the Mahabharata says, if a movie had to depict it in their movie, how would they show it? They would have zoomed the camera very close to his tongue and just show you how the honey is tricking into your tongue. They won't zoom out to show the entire scene. Just that part, how he's enjoying the honey. That's what movie is all about, right? In the movie, the most important thing is romantic scenes. And what is romance which is shown in the movies? It's a leveled thing. They don't show, you know, the fallouts of a romance. You know, what miseries you have to go through when you get into a romantic affair. That those details are very conveniently leveled out. And the pleasure of romance, the pleasure of the romantic affair is sharpened. And the whole story is presented in such a way that it is easy to assimilate. And so movies are very popular. So are the advertisements. What do advertisements do? It's the same thing. Advertisements are nothing but rumors. When they have to sell a particular product, what do? They level the story. Then they sharpen, right? If they want to advertise a cream, for example, a fairness cream, you know, the person who is advertising the fairness cream is shown to be extra glowing, extra white. And the people surrounding that person, you know, they are given a darker makeup. You know, a model comes to my preaching program, and she, you know, recently acted in a advertisement which advertised a fairness cream. So the person who was supposed to be using the fairness cream, her complexion was made extra white, and the other person's complexion was made darker, so that there is sharpening effect, so that you'll buy the product actually. And the advertisement is made relevant. The assimilation of the story is done so that you'll buy the product. That's what it's all about. All advertisements are rumors. Movies are rumors. And every single person is spreading rumors. A person might be going through so much of problem in his life, so much of suffering in his life, but when he comes out, you know, he comes out well-dressed when he goes to a party, and he gives a very nice smile as if he's enjoying life. And you ask him, how are you doing? He'll say, I'm fine. And nobody reproduces their life as it is. They level it, they sharpen the happiness that they're experiencing, and they reproduce their story in such a way that it becomes believable. Especially on social media, for example. They might have gone on vacation after 15 years, but those, you know, vacation photographs, they are, you know, they are photoshopped and then posted on Facebook to make them look in such a way that they had a great time on vacation. It is rumor all around, right? Now, as I was telling, advertisements are big time rumors. So companies, they rely on advertisements to sell their products. What else do companies do to sell their products? They also give free samples, right? Because unless you give free samples, it's difficult for people to buy your product. So they spread rumors about their product, and also they give out free samples. Now, for people to buy a product, you can have two approaches. One approach is any benefit approach, and the other approach is cost benefit approach. Now, when you have to buy something, intelligent people go for the cost benefit approach. They'll first analyze the cost, then they'll analyze the benefit, and after analyzing both the cost and the benefit, they'll take a decision whether to buy the product or not. But when you give free samples, they are tempted to go for the any benefit approach. Kuch toh fayda ho raha hai, let me buy the product. Now, how did social media grow? For example, Facebook. They don't charge for membership. Free login. Join today, they will say. And people go for the any benefit approach. It's free anyways. Or fayda ho raha hai, I'm going to get benefited from it. I can, you know, contact friends. I'll be getting some fresh information on a daily basis. I'll know what my friends are doing. I'm going to get some benefits and it's free. and they get into Facebook. They log into Facebook and they get hooked. Now, has Facebook opened their platform for people's benefit? No. Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, is one of the richest persons on the planet. The cost is hidden. There's hidden cost when you actually create a login in Facebook. Because the platform is going to hook you, and in due course of time, they're going to extract money from you through their advertisements. Isn't it? And that's exactly how Maya also works. Maya gives free samples of happiness within this world, by which you go for the any benefit approach. You feel, you know, there is some enjoyment within this world, and you are getting it relatively easier, at least in the beginning. And you go for it. And once you go for it, you get hooked. There are hidden costs for Maya's pleasures within this world. So what the Srimad Bhagavatam says is, you know, when it comes to material enjoyment, don't go for any benefit approach. Go for the cost-benefit approach. Analyze carefully what are the benefits you are going to get from it, and what is the price you have to pay for it. What is the cost you have to pay for it? Analyze very carefully the cost and the benefits. And after analyzing both these things very carefully, then take a decision. Otherwise, you will fall for it. Now, it's interesting that in these two particular verses, which Prahlad Maharaj, which I quoted, he says that, I have seen material existence. I have seen material existence, that the enjoyment is not really worth it. And then he says, whatever enjoyment that exists is Shruti Sukha. You simply hear it. You simply hear about it, but it doesn't exist. So when it comes to material enjoyment, when it comes to material pleasures, what we are supposed to do is not go by what we have heard, but actually see it for what it is. But when it comes to spiritual realization, we should not go by what we see, but we should go by what we hear. But in this material existence, people do the opposite. When it comes to spiritual realization, they say, can you show me God? They don't believe what the scriptures say. But when it comes to material sense enjoyment, they go by what they hear. They go by the rumors and fall for material sense gratification without actually opening their eyes wide open and understanding clearly how material existence is a source of actually misery. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very beautifully says that, you know, yada te moha kalilam buddhir vyatita vishyati tada gantasi nirvedam shrutasya cha. When you have actually crossed over the dense forest of delusion, when you have actually attained a higher taste in spirituality, you will automatically become indifferent to shrutavyasya shrutasya cha. All that is heard. Here actually, Krishna is referring to the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. Even the Karmakanda section of the Vedas are spreading rumors that there is happiness within this material existence. And Krishna is telling that when you actually gain a higher taste in the field of spiritual realization, then you won't fall for rumor. You won't fall for the rumor that there is happiness within material existence. But as long as we don't have this higher taste, we should carefully analyze everything that we hear within material existence and understand all the rumors of happiness within this material existence for what it is, and see clearly that the happiness within this material existence is accompanied with so much of misery, so much of suffering. We should use our intelligence, keep our eyes wide open to analyze the material world in a critical light. So this is what I had to share in today's class. Thank you very much for any questions? Granthraj Srimat is.
Sometimes devotees say that analysis becomes paralysis. And don't think too much about it. Just move on with your devotional service. So how do we understand this?
So, actually according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the characteristics of intelligence, the first characteristic of intelligence is samshaya. The first characteristic of intelligence is to doubt, right? So, someone who is intelligent, actually doubts material existence. So, within the material existence, when you hear about happiness or enjoyment, you doubt that propaganda. Is there actually enjoyment here? And after doubting, what you do? Samshayo atha viparyaso. Viparyaso means analysis. We analyze and see whether there is actually happiness or there is no happiness. So these are very much signs of intelligence. To doubt, to analyze. But then the third step is samshayo atha viparyaso nishchaya. After finding out that there is no happiness within material existence, what's the alternative? Spiritual happiness. Nishchaya. You come to the proper understanding and you invest your time and energy in the proper place and go ahead in life. But many times what happens is we get stuck in the first two processes, samshaya and viparyasa, and we continue doing the same things even when it comes to positive alternative, that is spirituality. Now as I said, when it comes to spirituality, we need to settle things. We need to come to the level of nishchaya. And then move ahead and experience spirituality. But if you're still stuck with samshaya and viparyasa, what happens is, you know, we are in air. We have no, you know, it's like an unnatural state of being.
But we have to do it.
We have to do it in terms of material existence, not in terms of spiritual existence. When we do it in terms of spiritual existence, then it becomes very unsettling. And it's like we are nowhere. Like Krishna says, for a doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. If you remain at the level of doubt and analysis, there is no happiness. You have to come to the level of nishchaya, the positive alternative. Like that. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.